702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Okay, before we go through your list of topics today, let's take a quick call from Marlon in Midrand first. Hello, Marlon.
Hi, Africa. Africa, I actually dropped my data and voice charges significantly by just moving to another service provider. What people have to realize as well, especially with the contract, is that when you get locked into a contract, you pay for the handset as well.
Correct.
So what used to happen was I used to have a top-up contract where I pay $657 per month. That was just for my cell phone. And then I had mobile broadband at home using 3G and LTE, which was 199 rand from Telkom. Now, the combined charges was 854. And then what happened was that my contract with MTN actually expired. I didn't renew with them. I actually moved over. I ported my number over to home. And my charges actually dropped. So per month now, for more or less the same type of almost like service, I'm actually paying 488. And what basically happens, is that with data, for instance, I top up every month 99 rand, and then I get 1 gig of data. And then on top of that, when you top up or recharge, you get additional data free. The same applies to your airtime. So that value, actually, which I used to get with my MTN contract, because I used to get 350 rand airtime as well as SMSs, I had to still buy data as well, which was 149 rand for 1 gigabyte. So at the end of the day, I would spend close to 900 and something for, you know, for everything, for my cell phone as well as for my broadband mobile at home.
Do you know how many chicken portions that is, Marlon? Thank you very much for your call. It is about shopping around, as IQ was suggesting. Lee is in Bellville. Hello, Lee.
Yeah, how's it, guys? So, I mean, my question is, I've been with Vodacom for about 15 years, and I've always been on a talk 500, I moved over to a talk 700, and I was getting by with 2 gigs of data. Even up to recently, I mean, I've got Wi-Fi at home, I've got Wi-Fi in my office, and my data patterns haven't changed. I Facebook, I WhatsApp. I'm not getting through 2 gigs anymore. I'm up on 10 gigs a month now, and I don't understand where it's going if my patterns haven't changed as a user.
Okay.
So you're saying you're using more data. Now, we must all remember that the phones that we have today are using a huge amount of data. I'll give you a classic example. Facebook that we used, say, 5 years ago and Facebook that we use today, look at the quality of your camera on your phone. And today, you're uploading the photographs and only updating your photographs on Facebook. They're no longer those low-quality photographs that are being uploaded. Your phone is uploading your photographs in high definition. Not in high definition, in high quality. So the file size of the photograph alone is pretty big. So we're just using so much data because of the apps that are working in the background, the stuff that we're doing on our phones. This phone is becoming our business tool. It's replacing the computer. And in many cases, it has replaced the computer for many people.
Okay. All right, Lee.
So look, thanks.
Look at those things, Lee. Thank you very much. Dave in Germiston, a very important question. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I would just like to ask, Aki, why does data expire? You buy the data after 30 days, just take it away. I mean, if I fill my car with petrol at the beginning of the month, the petrol company doesn't come and drain my tank at the end of the month.
Yeah. Listen, this is the issue that I have as well. There's no excuse for the operators to let your data expire, and then they say to you, "Well, if you top up at the end of the month before the 30-day period, we'll extend it by another 30 days." The excuse that they use, and I've heard this often, is it's an accounting thing, and they've got to balance their books, and they've got to make sure that everything is balanced because you can't carry too much forward because it's all got to do with stock rotation, and data is part of stock rotation. But I find that completely unacceptable. But it's not a practice just here in the country. It's, you know, in many other countries around the world. So yeah, that's the answer, I'm afraid.
Dave, thank you very much for asking it. And then, Aki, just a quick one on the SMS. HTC One M9 or the Sony Z5 for you?
So they're both great devices. They're both premium Android devices. Both score very highly. I think that the Sony probably edges the HTC ever so slightly. And you know, both great devices. They're premium Android phones in the market right now. But both good ones. I like to think that the Sony. I don't like to think. I can tell you the Sony takes better photographs than the HTC.
And then for Nick, is it safer to run a laptop at home using using a LAN cable as opposed to using Wi-Fi?
Well, if it's in your own home environment, it's the security that you put on to your network. And that's another thing, you know, to your password to your network should be quite a difficult password, so nobody can crack into that. But it's quite safe if you've got a wireless connection via your laptop to your router inside your house. It's pretty safe as long as the connection is secure and you've got a good password that nobody can break into.
And then Facebook turned 12 years the other day. And is there promise of more on Facebook?
Well, this is the thing. You know, yesterday they had Friends Day. And it's quite astonishing to think that Facebook is 12 years old already. And they released some very interesting stats. Now, you've heard of the term used, Africa, and I'm sure that the 6 degrees of separation. I think it was a book as well many, many years ago. And basically, the 6 degrees of separation says that around us, for example, we have, if you calculate how many people you have around us, we are 6 people away from knowing everybody in the world. That's correct. The basic 6 degrees. It's actually a play written by John Guare, and they basically say, you know, they say that the premise is that in the world that we're living in today, the 7 billion people that we have, a chain of no more than 6 acquaintances separate us. Now, I don't know about you, but on Facebook, when you start looking at your friends and then you see your mutual friends, right? Even if you look at somebody that you don't know, and you've never met in your life before, and you look at how many mutual friends you have, you say, hey, you know, is there a chance that we might know this person? So what Facebook have done is that they're saying that, hey, actually on Facebook, when you look at how many people are on Facebook, that number, that 6 degrees number, the 6 people, is closer to 3.5 people because of how many people we are connecting on Facebook. And then 1.6 billion people are now connected on Facebook. And even the researchers at Cornell University did this research saying that the number has actually shrunk in the last 5 years just simply because of the fact that we're becoming more connected. Now, I was doing this analysis the other day. How many people on your Facebook profile, Africa, do you not know that you've never met before in your life?
I would say at least 90%.
And that's exactly the same with me as well. I was astonished to say that 90, I was looking through all my friends and I was saying, who can I call? Who can I, you know, who do I not know? But 90% of the people I've never met in my life before, but yet I'm friends with on Facebook and I'm sharing personal information. And they have met, and they probably know me via somebody else. So the point is that the more connected we get in the world of technology, the more people we know, and how would we use the term? You know, when the more networked we are than ever before.
It is. Because I then find sort of people bump into me, I suppose, on Long Street, for example, in Cape Town, and say, hey, we're Facebook friends, and we have never met in my life before.
Awkward.
Very, very awkward. Yeah, particularly when they send you message, like on your birthday, happy birthday. Do you get my birthday message? I'm going, I've got thousands, woman. Sorry, I can't help you with that particular one.
Does that happen often to you when you're in a coffers?
Yes, it does happen often to me, actually, when I'm in a coffers, I will say.
But you know, you talk about Facebook, and a lot of companies are complaining, saying that the amount of time employees waste on Facebook is an issue. And they did some more research, also celebrating the 12 years of Facebook that's made Mark Zuckerberg incredibly rich. He's saying that, here's some interesting stats, that Facebook, you are worth about $3.73. Every user is worth $3.73 because, of course, they use you to market products and they sell advertising based on your patterns. And that's part of their evaluation. But some people are saying, you know, just based on their market cap, each user is valued closer to $200. So you and I are worth $200 to Facebook, you know, according to the share price.
And it's 16 Rand to the dollar.
Exactly. And are we making any money? Are we shareholders of Facebook? No, we're not. But they've created a platform for us to be friends and use the service. But users spend about 10.5 billion minutes a day on the platform. And this is excluding mobile, according to the company's filings that they did in 2012 when they listed. But basically what big business is saying, a lot of big businesses are saying, is that sometimes employees tend to spend a lot of time, too much time on Facebook. But then, you know, if in Facebook's defense, if you look at those averages, you could say that I suppose that we do, and that accounts to about 20 minutes a day, right? We could waste a lot more other time. I mean, look at smokers in buildings. Look at people who sit around the coffee machine and talk. Is that you know, that could translate as the same time wasting as we would on Facebook? poking
people
each other.
People often laugh at me. I also take a smoke break, even though I don't smoke, for two reasons. One, it's actually a nice break after like 45 minutes, an hour, whatever the case may be, to just go out and be outside. And I stand at a distance from where they are smoking. But also that's where the best gossip is, actually, as far as what's happening in the office is concerned. Go to the smoker's room if you want to know who's doing what to whom.
Can I tell you something just about smokers? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And I think that's a show on its own for smokers, because I was talking to a friend of mine who's in banking, and he was saying to me that the smoking section outside the bank, where they've got to go in the middle of nowhere because smoking is so taboo, smoking is the best networking time. That's
it
how
is.
You make your big contacts. And he said
it is.
Senior management, most of senior management apparently all smoke, and that's how you like move your way up to the corporate ladder, because you make your connections, you network.
It's a pity that you are risking lung cancer in the process, but that's a conversation for another day. You've been playing with a 3D printer, but before we find out what you've been printing using the 3D printer, let's take a call from Andre in Germiston. Hello, Andre.
Hi there. Just a quick one for Aki. It's sort of an opinion question. You know, the guy phoned in a couple of minutes ago speaking about how his data usage has increased over the last couple of years. Related to that, I wonder, just your opinion on this, do you think that As our phones and our computers and processors, the performance increases, as we have more data and our demand and all of these things increases accordingly, do you think there's ever going to come a day where our hardware and our data needs are going to be met to the point where there's no question about it anymore? Or is our demand on it going to keep on going up, that basically our phones are never going to be fast enough and our data is never going to be enough?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to get to a point, and very shortly in the next 5 years, in some countries even sooner, that, you know, the internet is going to be ubiquitous. It's already ubiquitous in many cases, but you will be able to walk around and be permanently connected to the internet and not even have to worry about your data. The data is going to be like water it is today. You turn on the tap and it's going to be available all over the place.
Well,
and we're getting that. We're going to get to that point. It's where consumerism and where technology is driving the process.
Andre, we're certainly waiting for that day. Thank you very much for your question. What have you been printing, Ike?
Oh, man, I love 3D printers. And, you know, they're very expensive, but they are becoming very affordable. And I've been playing with one by a company. It's made by XYZ, a company called XYZ. It's a Taiwanese company, and their printer name is called the Da Vinci Printer. And it's now available in South Africa. And what's great about this printer is what it delivers and the affordability model, okay? They come in at around 10,000 Rand. But it's amazing and mind-blowing to comprehend that a printer is able to print something in a three-dimensional format. You're used to having paper being printed, but this can print objects. And for those of you who don't know what a 3D printer is, it takes plastic, a certain kind of resin, and you take a picture that you download, you put it into your image of the software, and you press print, and this 3D printer, which looks like a box, it's about the size of two microwave ovens, and it's got, like, in the middle, it's quite empty, it's hollow, and it's got a little head that prints and uses the plastic resin that really just prints it out, and it's got this nozzle, it goes zzzzzzzzzzzzzzz and prints these incredible images that are in 3D. You can print toys, you can print all sorts of things. What makes the Da Vinci printers unique is not only, apart from the budget, is the fact that, you've got a dual nozzle, there's a touch panel, there's even a built-in scanner, and it's 20% larger, so you're able to print like bigger objects if they're standing up, like the Eiffel Tower, which I printed. So you've got 20 by 20 by 20 centimeters. Now, it's not for everybody. You know, we're not all going to rush and print, go and buy one of these at 10,000 Rand. But if you're a small business that wants to print if you're an architect and you want to print a house to show your clients what it's going to look like, and you want to print some examples if you're in jewelry, before you actually manufacture something, this is where 3D printing comes really handy. So it's not going to break the bank, but even for hobbyists, if you're quite creative and you do quite a few crafty things that you maybe sell at flea markets or whatever the case may be, you can print these things out using 3D printers, your design. Have a look at the Da Vinci printers by XYZ, because they come in at a really affordable price and you get what you pay for. There are more expensive ones out in the market. This one might not be as fast in certain cases, but boy, oh boy, you have so much fun using a 3D printer. I don't know if you've ever seen one in action, Africa.
I have at one of some exhibitions somewhere at the CTICC. It's very fascinating. I don't get excited by gadgets, I must say. So this is an invitation. If you want something printed, Aki has the printer for another day or two.
Yes.
Be nice to him and he'll print it for you. Aki, that's all the time we have today. Thank you very much. The Technobite will be back next week. And the tweet of the day comes from Good Things, where they write, when my free or paid data bundle is used up, disconnect me. Do not auto-switch to my airtime.